Welcome to the Bambushi Happy Hour. I am Peju Bambushi Bonfelsberger.
Hi guys, and I'm Naomi Bambushi.
And this is the Bambushi Happy Hour Pop Edition. So Ma, how you doing? What's up?
Oh, I'm doing wonderfully, sweetie. Everything is wonderful. The weather is sizzling here in Texas. I don't know when I've seen it below a whole day below 100 degrees. It is sizzling.
Yeah.
It's hot all night. It's hot when you get up in the morning. It's hot in a firecracker.
I'm telling
you, thank heavens for air conditioning. That's all I can say.
It is hot. Yeah, it's hot. You know, we got to find ways to keep ourselves cool, whether it's in the pool or stay inside. And also, we got to conserve energy. You heard that whole thing.
At the same time, we're supposed to be, you know what? You know when I conserve energy? When I sit down, okay? When I'm not overactive, that's when I conserve energy. I can't conserve nothing. As long as my AC is working, it's going to be on. You know, when these temperatures get a little bit cooler, then, you know, fine. But, oh, my goodness, it's almost unbearable.
And
if you're talking about any time after 9 or 10 o'clock, forget it. It's sizzling.
It's just hot, yeah.
Yeah.
I wanted to tell our guests about the website before we take our toast. We have a new website, guys.
Yeah.
The Bambushi. Right. Well, it's not the, it's BambushiHappyHour.com. Go to the website for all the latest on what's going on with the podcast and everything about the Bambushi Happy Hour. Go to BambushiHappyHour.com, guys.
Okay.
So, Ma, let's let everybody know what we're sipping on today. We have some rum, and we have featured this on the show before. It's 10 to 1 rum, and we know that Sierra is co-owner and Mark Farrell.
Okay. All right. Long life and prosperity, health, wealth, and happiness. Salud.
Salud. Okay. I remember that being delicious, and it's delicious.
Excellent.
Okay.
Nice kick. Excellent.
All right, so let's get into some pop culture today, Mom.
All right, sweetie, what's going on?
So, Mom, did you see that state senator, the young one, Tierra Mack?
No, I don't remember. Was it a senator, a man?
No, so Tierra.
Oh, Tierra. Oh, no. Yes.
So Tierra Mack.
I heard you say Mack, something about Mack. Go ahead, what's up?
Yeah, you're right. Of Rhode Island is under fire for her video that went viral. And I guess you don't know what she was doing in the video. Well, the first term, she's a Democrat. She went viral for posting a TikTok video in which she was shown in a bikini at the beach doing a handstand and twerking. So people were debating on social media about whether it was appropriate for a sitting lawmaker. What are your thoughts, Mom?
Okay.
And she's 28.
Okay. Listen, you know, it may not have been in the best of taste, but I mean, it's not a crime. I mean, you got to take it tongue in cheek. You got to take it as something funny and pleasant. She was just having fun with it. Apparently, she's in good shape, or she's confident enough in her body, whether she's in good shape or not, you know, to have fun with it. So, I mean, come on. That's not. You know.
Well, she said that she struggled, that they asked her to, you know, kind of apologize, and she back, you know, she said no, she doubled down. She struggled with the idea that in order to be respected, I have to be fully clothed and buttoned up, and I have to be performing in a way that is inauthentic to myself. And so my take on it is it's kind of much ado about nothing. She wanted attention. And that's kind of, you know, what she got. But she also is a very intelligent woman. She graduated from Brown University.
Yeah.
You know, she's well educated. And I think that she was trying to appeal to a younger group to get them interested and excited about voting.
Maybe. And I also just think she was also having fun with it.
Yeah,
I think everybody is getting a little bit too serious about it. I think she was having fun with it.
Yeah, and some people said some things, in particular from the GOP side, that were inappropriate, that were racist, of course, because she's a Black queer woman. And, you know, they took it somewhere that they didn't need to go. She was just having fun. Not to me.
Fun with it, really. Yeah.
To me, as much
ado. That's the way it sounds to me.
To be as much ado about nothing, you know, whatever. And I can't talk.
Oh, I have to follow her. Oh, that's so good. I'm going to have to follow her. What's her name? Tarianne Mack?
No, Tierra. Tierra Mack.
Oh, Tierra. Rhymes with Sierra. Tierra Mack. Good. Yeah. I'm going to have to follow her. She sounds like a very interesting and fun person. Okay.
Okay. So Martin Lawrence had some interesting things to say. Well, I don't know if it was really interesting, but they asked him during an interview with Ebony. He discussed his relationship with Will Smith, and he was questioned on whether or not, in the aftermath, obviously, of the slapping incident, the two would join forces for the fourth installment of the Bad Boys franchise. Martin insinuated he had no plans of walking away from his friend and colleague and canceling the project. He said, "We got one more at least." Of course, there was no timetable on when that would be, because I think the last one that they did, it was like a 19-year, you know, gap. So, Ma, should they do another Bad Boys? Should they do Bad Boys 4? And what are your thoughts on this?
I don't know about the financial viability of Bad Boys 4. Apparently, somebody sees some money making in the whole, you know, project. So I would make my decision just based on if I was still interested in doing it and, you know, and what the money looked like. I would not base anything on Will's behavior, the way Will behaved, the fact that, you know, he assaulted Chris Rock. Mm-hmm. I mean, if he's my friend, then I just feel like he was in trouble.
And I don't know if Martin actually has the control over whether
he has control over whether or not he's in it.
Correct.
So that's the really issue. And yeah, you know, I mean, that would not factor in, you know, that whole just fiasco, you know, that occurred with Will, that would not have any bearing on whether or not I did it. If that's the question, if that's what you're asking me, that it would not matter to me. If that's my friend, I would think my friend needs help. Mm-hmm. He needs to be able to deal with, you know, other issues that are clearly, you know, bothering him and that mm-hmm. he needs to address. But I certainly would not cancel any work project I had with him because of that. If it got canceled, it would have to be on Will to cancel. Because mm-hmm. Will, you know, has things that he's going to do. But in terms of my participation, yeah, sure, I'd be there. He'd still be my friend mm-hmm. and I would still be there. Just because my friend needs help, you know, and you didn't make the best decisions, I'm not going to not be your friend.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not going to abandon work projects that we have together. No.
Well, you know, I agree with you on that. If Martin and Will are friends and they appear to be friends, I'm not going to turn my back on my friend because they made a mistake.
There you go.
It was a public mistake, and he is a public figure. You know, if it was something that was greenlit, then I would move forward with it. Like I said, you know,
yeah, of course,
we don't know how much control Martin actually has to greenlight the project, which, you know, but as far as I would not leave it.
I would think that Martin's input was very valuable because the franchise is him and Will.
Right.
So I would think that his input is pretty important.
Yeah, you know, I told you, I know we talked about it in another episode, Martin Lawrence didn't seem, you know, as funny and as jovial and just as the Martin that I remember. I know he's gotten older, I know there's some things that happen, but that old Martin that I really enjoyed and loved on the show, it didn't come across. And I don't know how that's, you know, sometimes when you see people in a different light, you don't necessarily want to see them play roles that they were so popular for when they were younger and they were funny and they took things so light. So for me personally, I don't know that I necessarily would have interest in seeing that. But I think that from his perspective, that he definitely should stay with the project and, you know, support his friend.
Yeah. So. You know, I'm going to respond to that by saying, yeah, I'm hearing everything you're saying, but you know what? I don't recall ever seeing Martin out of character very often. I know him mostly in some role, in the role of Martin, or what was it when he was a Big Mama dressed in drag playing the detective? You know, I don't know.
Big Mama's House? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know him off camera. Mm-hmm. I don't see him much when he's not in character. I don't know that he wasn't always a more subdued and withdrawn and introvert off camera. Mm-hmm. I don't know that about him because I've only seen him off camera a couple times.
Yeah.
So I don't know what his natural personality is. And he's not like a Dave Chappelle who gets up there and tells stories and talks. Right. You understand? He's a different thing. He's in a written character.
Yeah.
You know, he's not Martin. You know, we don't see him 90% of the time. We don't see him as in his natural environment. We see him in some role.
All right.
So I really don't know how he is. Now, I saw him dragging and terrible in that thing he did with Frasier.
Oh, yeah.
With Kelsey Grammer. You know, I didn't know what was going on with that. You know, they both seem lifeless. So yeah. I don't know what was going on with that situation. I don't know if that's what their characters were supposed to be, but whatever it was horrible. Very bad chemistry or no chemistry. But other than that, and I'm not clear about what that was because I didn't even see that much because they just sort of gave you a glimpse and it was gone.
You're right. I forgot about that one he did with Kelsey Grammer, and it was a whole different type of vibe. Yeah,
it was
from
a horror.
Both of them.
But yeah, absolutely. But you know what? It was here and gone so quickly, you didn't even really get a chance to fully get into what was it ever supposed to be? What were the characters ever supposed to be like? You know, you never did get to know the characters. So I say all that just to say this. I only know him playing a part. I don't know his personality. Some people just, well, they're either always on, never out of character in the public, or they may have just a very different kind of personality when they're not in a role. When
that's
they're
true.
Doing things and that. So I don't know what's going on, you know, with Martin. And I'm going to presume that he's not on drugs, at least not to the extent that he used drugs when he was younger,
he didn't seem like he was on drugs at all. He just seemed
I'm saying when he was younger, you know, drugs may have also altered his personality, may have made him more with the high energy. You follow me? That he doesn't do anymore. So I don't know. I really don't know what things factor into his person. I don't know what his personality even really is. You know, not at all.
Yeah, no, I mean, like I said, I think that Martin is a very talented comedian. I think he, you know, is very talented and very creative. So I don't mean anything like that. I just saw a different side. And you're right.
Yeah.
I never thought about that because I'd never seen him when he was not in character.
Yeah, almost every time we've ever seen him, he's been in character. It's been pretty much scripted. Or even if he had lived, he was still ad-libbing in the role of somebody else.
Right.
You know, so I don't know. But so we shall see. I do believe that whatever script they come up with, I believe Martin is certainly up to it. So, you know, the script can be strong or weak. But if they come up with a decent script, you know, I think it'll be good. You know? So let's just see, because that's down the pipe, because Will has been very quiet.
Yeah, he has. So we'll see.
Which he needs to be, you know.
Yeah, he's taking some time to get himself together.
Yeah,
so.
And that only makes sense, you know.
Okay, so let's get into another. This one is a little less, not the other one was real serious, but Miss Doja Cat. Now, we know that Doja Cat and Noah Schnapp, and for the guys and ladies who watch Stranger Things, that's Will. That's the character that plays Will. So there was some controversy because Doja Cat is 26 and Noah is 17. And on an Instagram live video, she talked about the direct message conversation that she had with him, and she mm-hmm. wasn't very happy about it. She just pretty much said that Schnapp is a minor in her video, and she said it was so unbelievably socially unaware and whack, while adding that it was borderline snake shit for him to share their private conversation. Her video prompted, obviously, people to voice their opinions. Now, for those who don't know, she has a thing for the character Eddie on Stranger Things. And Eddie is 29. I think he's like 29 years old. And
Eddie Doja is Cat, the guy in the bookstore.
And the books, no, not in the bookstore. The one that was killed. The one with the
Eddie. Eddie who's selling his little drugs and whatnot.
Eddie. He's in real life, he's 29 and Doja Cat is 26. Yeah. Totally like age appropriate. So people have a problem with Doja Cat getting mad at
a 17-year-old
when she's 26.
What was wrong with Doja Cat?
Right. And I also found out everybody knew that she had a crush on Eddie from Stranger Things. Everyone knew this because she posted it online beforehand. So what are your thoughts? I'm sorry.
My thoughts is that she wasn't being the woman that she is. Why didn't she just contact Eddie directly or his people or whoever? Why is she involving a child? Why is she acting? You know, listen, I don't want to bring up history and the story of, you know, when you have this go between people, maybe this 17-year-old young guy that she involved in, and maybe he has a crush on her. Maybe he meant to, you know, mess up whatever. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of things in there. But here's the real deal. Why was she so ridiculous? Why is she so silly? She's no high school kid.
Right.
She's a young woman, but she's an adult.
Right.
Why are you telling a kid? Listen, I wouldn't have even told another grown ass person. I'm Doja Cat. You can look me up. You know I'm out here doing what I'm doing. Okay. And I would like to, you know, have dinner with you or let's meet. So I don't know what they do, whatever kind of thing they do to get together. Right. You know, like us, you know, spend a little bit of time together, invite you to one of my shows or whatever, however they, you know, whatever they do. You know, why do you even need a go-between period? And you look, if you want your business kept private, then keep it private.
Right.
If you don't want your business exploited and spread all over the universe, then keep it to yourself or between you and the party involved. Doja Cat behaved foolishly.
Yes, very foolishly.
And so now, hey, she's getting the blowback. There's a price to pay when we do stupid stuff. Yeah. And that's for all of us.
Yeah, and she went back on Twitter and she said a bunch of other, stuff. And
whatever she said, she's the one who is her bad. She's the one who behaved foolishly, and so be it, you know.
Yeah.
So be it.
Yeah, I mean, she said, you know, y'all are so cringe and lame and nobody wants to hang with you. She said a bunch of stuff. That was just real immature.
What she said. It doesn't matter what she said, because once again.
And I like Doja Cat.
I don't care anything about it. She got a cute little song, Kiss Me More. I think that little Asian guy is built in there. She's got a good looking Asian guy in there. I like that. So, you know, it's all right and everything. You know, she's all graphic with her lyrics, everything, but it's a cute little song, a little cute little tune and moneymaker. I know she got a little award for it and whatnot. So good for her. Doja Cat, come on, stop being silly. You so bold up there talking about, and all. Or you know what you say on those songs, okay? Now you so bold, you gonna come out there and say all that and bah, 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 and all the stuff that you saying, you know, and all this here different juices and all this stuff you talking about. And if you hear the song, I know what I'm talking about because I've heard Kiss Me More.
Okay.
Doja Cat, if you can get up there and say all that, you can't say to Eddie from Stranger Things, I'd like to get to know you. Okay, check out that song, Doja Cat. Play that song, okay? Go on YouTube and pull up I'd Like to Get to Know You by Spanky and Our Gang. It's a simple thing. You just want to get to know
them. Why does she have to go on YouTube? Why can't she just go on Apple?
Go on Apple. Go on anything. Yeah. But Doja Cat, you sound like a fool, okay? Wow. You sound like a fool.
Well, Doja, you heard that.
Send him that message. Doja Cat, you know what? You ain't being a woman. Step up. Step your game up, Doja Cat. You ain't being a woman about it now. You're being childish.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I still like Doja Cat. I think she needs
I still like her too. Wait a minute. I ain't never like her that much now. But I mean, as much as I ever liked her, I like her. But I'm saying, if I like her or not,
Something silly. Maybe she's socially awkward, you know?
Yeah, well, listen, but you know what? Guess what? She gonna learn today. This is the price you pay. When you're socially awkward, guess what? You'll learn real quick. You'll become very socially sophisticated real quick when you get finished being drug. Okay? Yeah. Okay. That's it.
Okay. So, Ma, let's move on to a TV show where there was some...
I don't think she's socially awkward anyway. Like I said, just listen to some of the lyrics to her song. She don't seem that socially awkward.
Well, I mean, with men.
Maybe she's... what she's singing to men. That's all that stuff she's talking about is for men.
Yeah. Okay.
She's talking directly to them and telling them what she wants them to do to her and what they want to do to her. She's talking directly to men. Real bold. Okay.
Okay. So let me move on to a TV show where there was some breaking news. From the last season, Steve and Noi are divorcing.
Mom. Oh my goodness, I'm so heartbroken.
From Married at First Sight, in case you don't know who that was.
Steve and Noi.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Edmund, let me give the people some background. So Noi posted
let's not let it be an hour. Go ahead.
Oh, well, I'm doing the best I can with what I'm working with.
You working with a lot.
Shout out to Chris Brown, like we always have to say. So Noi posted on Instagram, divorce feels good. And Steve posted, I was not expecting this announcement to happen today, but I'm prepared to handle it. When I said yes on decision day, I knew that our relationship was far from perfect, but I held the belief that with enough time, effort, and understanding, we could overcome the challenges we face and build a healthy, functioning relationship. He has four pages of this, so I'm not going to go into detail. We've been apart for a little while now, to the point of moving on, with hope pretty much fading for any chance we could recover. Noi, I will always love you. I so wish we were a better fit.
As she continues on page three.
Right. And knowing myself and how I often struggle with the detaching from relationships, it gets really hard at times. And he talks about how he put so much effort into his relationship. There are too many things.
It feels good being divorced.
Well.
Go ahead and write a book. Nobody want to hear it.
Well, Ma, Noi deleted what she said earlier. You asked for the divorce. I beg you to stay, and you said you don't owe me anything. Noi further added that Steve. Noi
wouldn't move in the house with him. I'm not surprised.
Noi added that Steve never checked on her dog Sushi, even after knowing that he is dying of cancer after all of the treatments. During this time, you knew I was vulnerable and my heart was breaking outside of this. And this is when you said we should divorce. You are not heartbroken. Stop acting like this for everyone else. You made this choice before involving me in the final decision. And you said I was not allowed to talk about it, even though you said you were already seeing other people. Now, this is what she said a few days ago in her last, she deleted that and posted a picture of her in a bathing suit or bikini. And that's when she said divorce feels good. So what are your thoughts, Mom?
Good. Divorce sounds good for the two of them. They need to be divorced. I don't know who did what to whom, but I know they never were together. I know Noi refused to move in with him. Mm-hmm. He still had this, that, and the other thing to work out. Now, you know, to me...
How about his job? He never wanted to get a job.
Are you answering me or you want me to answer? I didn't say nothing about his job. No, I'm telling you some of the things. She didn't move in with him. She knew he didn't have no job, but she stayed in with him on decision day. She said he didn't have a job on decision day. And she stayed in with him. So she was given the impression that she wanted the relationship to work. Now, what was the contingency? Was it contingent on him getting a job or not? Or what? They never did tell us. We never knew. I never heard it.
No.
Now, we knew she wanted him to get a job. But then she said if he could show 40K, she would stay with him for a while. Or maybe they could work it out. I guess she figured that would last him for a year with her job and everything. You know, whatever. And they never told us whether or not he showed 40K. They just kept saying he was comfortable. I never did understand because even though they didn't divorce, she didn't move in with him. So what is it that they were working on? Was she scared he couldn't pay the rent? So she figured I'd keep my place. I never knew because they never shared that with the public. They right. just never moved in together. And then the next thing they were getting a divorce. So to me, whatever they hadn't resolved on decision day, they still didn't dissolve. In the interim between decision day and the divorce day, they just never did get it resolved. You know, yeah. And then that was it. And they need to be divorced.
Well,
that's all.
I agree with you, Ma. I never understood. I never saw them together after the first couple of days. Noi was completely annoyed by Steve when she found out that he wasn't in any rush to get a job. And I don't understand why Steve would come on a show knowing he didn't have a job and wasn't willing to get one anytime soon. And most people, not all, it is your decision as women. I stress that. Whether or not you want to have children. Noi wanted to have 3 kids. Okay. And that was, she said that from the beginning. Whether or not she has 3 children, will have 3 children or not, we don't know, but she wants to have kids. And so having a stable, financially stable partner is crucial. And Steve was deficient from the beginning. Noi had not the best attitude. I noticed she wasn't very, kind in dealing with him. She would snap at him. She would leave. She would be passive aggressive, posting stuff on social media, da, 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 all that stuff. Real immature for a woman in her mid-30s. Real silly. With that being said, it was pretty obvious that these two weren't going to work out. Don't know why they said yes on decision day. I actually feel good that they have come to their senses and decided to part so that they can go on and pursue whatever they want to individually. So are we good, Ma? Or you want to say something else?
I don't even know why they put Steve on in the first place with no job. I don't even know how that all happened. Did he lie? Did they not care? The so-called experts. I don't see why they would put a person that, you know, unemployed and no plans for employment. I'm not clear about that unless he was independently wealthy. Why would you think he's a suitable person to even be on the show? Why would you think that?
I feel like they do. Well, whatever.
And why would you match him with somebody who, you know, has let you know that financial security is important to her? Why would that even be a sensible thing to do? I don't know. So, hey, moving on. I mean, much ado about nothing, because we can dissect these different matches that they do all the time. I look, that's why Dr. Vivi left. You know, it's show business, okay?
Right.
It's show business. So yeah. Let's not get it confused with the real world. It's show business.
Okay, so.
You know, some people meet, it's just like you meet on the set of a movie. Okay, you may meet somebody and click with them, and you may make it on into the sunset. Okay, it's mm-hmm. the same chances. It's the same chances. It's just that random. You got me?
Yeah.
This married at first sight is just as random as meeting somebody on any kind of show. That's okay.
All right. Mm-hmm. So let's move on to another topic that's been in the news in our neck of the woods, as Al Roker would say. We love Al Roker because we're from Jersey / New York.
That's right. That's Al.
Yeah. Yeah. So a pregnant woman got a ticket for driving in the HOV lane in Texas. She says was her passenger. She was 34 weeks pregnant at the time.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts, Ma, on that? This is going, you know, she has a case, you know, she is refusing.
I would give her a pass at 34. Mm-hmm. That baby is just getting fatter. You know?
I like how you're taking it, because a lot of people are very, taking this in a very serious way, because
I'm taking it seriously too, because that baby is a person. That baby is a person.
So you agree
that baby can live outside her womb right now. It's 34 weeks old.
Yes.
That's a person.
So so what happens if it's 8 weeks old, 12 weeks old? Like, that's the precedent.
If it's 8 weeks old, and this happened in Texas, Yeah. If it's 8 weeks old, that's a tiny little fragile person. Yes.
Okay, so you agree. So you agree with her.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's so big that baby can live outside the womb now for sure, independent of
in
the
34
weeks. That's what I'm laughing at because it's so big.
Right.
So that's a little person. It's a little person. Yeah.
Okay, so you don't.
I see with mommy, and they need to leave mommy alone. And that was very nasty of that person who gave her that ticket.
Well, you, okay, so. Okay, so here's the issue. You know what the HOV lane is for anyway, promote ride sharing and
alleviate and cut down on crowds on the highways.
Right, right.
Yeah, high occupancy.
Well, I guess the thing is that they're like there. They're like a baby wouldn't fall into category.
I understand, and I gave you my view, honey. You ain't got to re-explain anything to me. I got it. Oh, I don't know who you're talking to.
Well, no, I'm just wondering.
I gave you my view. I agree with the woman. I think her baby is a person.
I just don't know if that's going to cause more issues down the line regarding healthcare, regarding what you call a person. You know, like you have to be careful about that.
All right. Look, you're projecting too far.
I'm not projecting too far. It's very controversial. That's why I'm having this conversation.
Okay, well, you know, I gave you my view on it. I feel that that's...
But okay, so is it because it's 34 weeks? Or is it... I just
answered you at 8 weeks. It's a tiny person. It is the evolution of a human being. So, you know, some people believe life starts at conception. What do you mean? Yeah. What do you mean? We all get here one way, you know? Ma. So what is your thing? My what?
Okay.
My what? My what?
It just has to do
and all that.
But that's what this is about.
Please don't start with all that.
This conversation is about.
It's not. You can stretch it to that.
Okay.
You can turn it into that if you want to, but that is not what it's about.
Okay.
That's not what it's about. That's you turning it into that. That's not what it's about. And even if that is what it's about, that does not mean a woman doesn't have the right to choose because you decide to label something this way or that way or the other way.
Yeah.
So that's all.
Okay. I'm just saying that she said that pretty much because of what recently happened.
I understand. I think they should have left her alone. She's clearly obviously pregnant and they should have left her alone. Now, if they want to play around with, at what time and what date and all that, fine. Okay. Who's going
to do they're saying that the baby has to be outside the body, Mom.
Oh, well, you know.
Because all of this comes into place. Should you play child support?
Okay, so you asked me my opinion.
I asked you your opinion. All right, I understand where you're coming from.
My opinion, and then you seem to be wanting to change my opinion.
I'm not changing your opinion. I don't. Me and you can have a conversation and not necessarily be 100%, you know, in agreement. Not trying to change your opinion at all. Okay. I just thought it was an interesting case, and it's here in Texas. And we don't know if we'll see more and more
that's a whole nother issue. Is it gonna matter state by state? I mean, how much of an issue do you think this is gonna really become? Not very much of one, but let me just say this to you.
Well, it made news.
If it's in Texas, then I don't even know how the hell they gave her a ticket. If they're being so consistent in Texas, where abortion is going to be banned completely, irrespective to how far along you are. It's just going to be banned. And now it's, 6 weeks and waiting for
a couple weeks now,
and in a couple more weeks, it'll be zero.
Zero.
Nothing. Right. So how does she get a ticket at all? If you're talking about consistency in abortion and women's rights. So come on, Pay. Don't turn it into if that's the case, the cop
she did it
should have never gave her the ticket at all.
Okay.
You understand? If following that logic, that it's
a slippery slope
slippery slope, but you got to call it. He called it. That cop called it.
He
And he did call it. I'm not having it. And she's like, I'm not having it. So let's see where it goes.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm very clear that I'm pro women and pro choice. I don't know what this is.
And so am I. And so am I. If he's consistent with and adhering to Texas laws, then he should have never given her the ticket. Then he should have never given her the ticket. You understand?
I mean, I'm not saying, you're right.
I'm saying as far as the state of Texas.
Well, that's what she was saying.
Well, that's what it is.
And that's the issue. That's what it is.
They're full of crap. You can't have it both ways. You can't have it both ways. If you're telling me it's a baby from the moment of conception, when I got a big child who can live independently, you're telling me it's not another person? But yet as soon as I conceive, it's a person? Texas? That's what you're telling me? So you don't give me no ticket. How you giving me a ticket? You violating your own law. Okay.
I'm just worried about women in general.
That I am not in agreement with.
No, I mean, that's my thing. I'm not in agreement with
I'm not in agreement with anything Texas says. Because everything they say is anti-human, anti-reproductive rights, anti-women rights, anti-civil rights. I'm not in agreement with anything Texas says as a red state.
And I wanted to...
With anything.
And I wanted to give an update on that. You know, in the last day or two, since we recorded this, the government is issuing guidance saying the requirements for healthcare providers under the Emergency Medical Treatment and Labor Act, the law requires medical facilities to determine whether a person seeking treatment may be in labor or whether they face an emergency situation or one that could develop into an emergency and to provide treatment. So if a physician believes that a pregnant patient presenting at an emergency department, including certain labor and delivery departments, is experiencing an emergency medical condition as defined by EMTALA, and that abortion is a stabilizing treatment necessary to resolve that condition, the physician must provide that treatment. Just letting everyone know that is something that is the guidance. And in most states, they do have that.
That's just a bunch of lawsuits, honey.
It's a bunch of Texas,
that's just a bunch of lawsuits waiting to happen.
Well,
you know it and I know it.
It's
a bunch of lawsuits. That's okay. All. And then doctors are wreaking havoc on the medical profession. So let's just see how
guys go vote.
For OBGYNs.
What? Guys, go vote. Go vote, guys, is what I'm saying. Yeah. Go vote.
All the time. If you don't do anything else, my goodness, please vote. Please.
Okay. So, So I wanted to talk a little bit about the Emmys. We don't have to go too far with the Emmys, but they just announced the nominations today. And there was just a couple of things that kind of stood out. Congratulations to Zendaya. She was nominated for 3 awards. And she is the youngest actress to ever be nominated for 2 lead actors, actresses. And this is for Euphoria. And she also was nominated for some music and lyrics that she did for 2 songs from Euphoria. So congratulations to her.
Okay, Zendaya.
Succession broke the Emmy record for the most nominations for a drama series with 14 nominations. Well deserved.
When is Succession coming back?
Oh, I gotta find out for you.
I'm telling you, you know.
I know, it's too much. Especially when those shows are really good. It seems like it takes a long time for them to come back. When they're not that good, they come back real quick.
Right, you know what? They're going to mess around and let people lose interest in the whole show.
Right.
Okay.
Stranger Things scores 13 nominations, but people were a little surprised that Millie Bobby Brown, 11, did not receive a nomination, and nor did the other female character, Sadie Sink. She didn't receive a character.
Which one is Sadie Sink?
She's Sam. I want to say she's Sam. Yeah. I'm always messing up the names, but yes, Sam.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. And so, Abbott Elementary picked up 7 nominations.
Oh, that's congratulations. Cute. Abbott Elementary is funny.
It's very cute. Former President Obama scored an Emmy nomination for outstanding narration for Our Great National Parks. Congratulations to him.
Oh, congrats, President Obama.
Gerard Carmichael scored an Emmy nomination for Ron Daniel. Yes, Ron Daniel. Ron Daniel. Yeah, for that. He did.
Well, that's what he did. Yeah.
I thought he did a really good job, and that I love that. And then Dave Chappelle, no matter whatever people said, The Closer landed 2 nominations. So congratulations to Dave Chappelle.
Oh, Dave, yeah. You
know, we also had Dave, Issa Rae.
Dave.
My Issa Rae, Donald Glover, Natasha Rothwell, who was in White Lotus, who also played Kelly in Insecure. She received the nomination, and Lizzo received the nomination for her reality show. So congratulations to them.
Hey, congratulations to everyone.
Two things that stood out and we'll talk about it, you know, on when we get closer to the Emmys. No major nomination for This Is Us, you know, the season finale, a series finale. And my Samuel Jackson for The Last Days of Ptolemy Gray, he should have been nominated.
Oh, yeah, that was so good.
And no nomination for Jessica Chastain for Scenes from a Marriage. Oscar Isaac got nominated, but I thought Jessica Chastain was good.
She was good at it too. I did as well, yeah.
So that was a little strange.
I thought they were fired together. I thought they were really good.
She just came off an Oscar win for The Eyes of Tammy Faye. So I think she's doing pretty
well. She'll be okay.
She'll be all right.
She'll be all right. Yeah.
Okay. So, Ma, did you hear about Pete Buttigieg?
Oh, no. What did former Mayor Pete do?
The
transportation czar.
All right. Yeah. There you go. So he reportedly turned down an offer from Leonardo DiCaprio to help him with his public speaking. Apparently, his former political strategist, Liz Smith, said that you know, she told TMZ that many celebrities supported him, and DiCaprio attended a private fundraising event for Pete Buttigieg in October of 2019. And they had, you know, Paris Hilton, Ashton Kutcher, those people, Katy Perry, Lerna Bloom. DiCaprio made an offer to give Buttigieg some coaching tips on public speaking ahead of the forthcoming live TV debate. And Buttigieg just, you know, refused. They said he made pleasant conversations, but he wasn't overly familiar with the celebrities because he's just doesn't have much knowledge of pop culture. So what are your thoughts, Ma, on that? Do you think that Leo is anybody to give coaching on public speaking?
No,
he's a real good actor, but
yeah, I don't know. I haven't heard him speak much publicly. Once again, I've only seen him primarily in character. Or still photos. I haven't heard him doing really much.
Or pictures of him at parties with his hat pulled down.
Yeah, those are still characters. Yeah, still character shots, you know. So, you know, I don't know what his public speaking abilities are. And I don't know that he personally would be giving anybody any kind of lessons. So I don't know. It just seems like some drug crazy talk to me. It seemed like he was at a party high and was just talking smack. So that's what I would say was, and Mayor Pete was very wise to just sort of ignore him and sort of tip on the way. I'm quite sure they was in their cups having their taste and having their whatever other type of get high they had going on. And Mayor Pete was completely right. I don't even know if Leo remembers that. They better have it on camera and on tape and everything else, because he probably doesn't even remember that he said that. You know?
Yeah, I don't think so either. It doesn't seem like anything that Leo would actually do.
He's not even that much of a public speaker at all.
No, when he speaks, people like get real quiet because they're like, oh my, you know, we didn't know he could do that outside of the movies. Oh gosh, I don't know, maybe they're trying to hype up another movie that Leo has coming out or something, because it didn't make any sense.
Or they was just there getting toe up and he just was talking smack, that's all.
Something, I don't know, but I'm going to move on for that. Mm-hmm. And finally, Ma, Neo, you know, the recording artist. Neo's good. Neo was on, I guess he was on a podcast, and he was on
Champagne Life. Neo.
Yeah. And he was talking about how he was going to sign this artist, Lucky Day. Do you know Lucky Day, Ma?
I don't think I know
Lucky, Lucky Day. He did perform at the Juneteenth special that they had on Prime. Okay, well, I don't know much of Lucky Day. I saw
the special, but I'm trying to remember which one was Lucky Day. I think Lucky Day can sing.
Yeah, he can sing. He can sing. So Neil was saying that he was going to sign him as his artist. This was, you know, some years ago. And he said that he let him stay.
Some years ago.
And he said he was going to let him stay at his house. Well, he let him stay at his house. So while Neil was out of town.
He stayed at his house.
Yes. So Neil wasn't there. Neil said, look, man, you can have full reign of my house. Just stay out of my bedroom. Sure enough, Neil came home
and found his bedroom up.
Well, he found Mr. Lucky Day in the bed with a woman. And so Neil decided not to sign him after that. Would you not sign an artist because they were sleeping in your bed with a partner or whoever?
Yes. Going on? Yes.
What?
I would not sign that person.
Why?
No matter how much money I think that person could make for me, I would say you were in the bed with somebody in the house that I left you in, and I can't trust you. So I'm willing to forfeit all the money that I think I could make off you because you dirtied up my sheets. You know, I mean, come on. How ridiculous.
And that's a reason to not sign anybody. If he had been in the bed with his wife,
That's different. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's totally ridiculous. And believe me, whyever he's not signing him, that ain't the reason. You know,
that's what he said.
I don't care what he said. He's lying.
Well, he's a Lucky Day signed now at this point, but
signed with who?
Well, I don't know who.
Right. But that he's lying. Because he said he was going to sign him years ago in the first place. So he'd been lying throughout the years. Right? All right. You promised me. At what point? You promised me years ago you was going to sign me. Now years have passed. And you still didn't sign me. And now you tell me to stay in your house and then you put me in a trap. The only room that looks good in the house is your bedroom. So naturally, I'm going to go in there. I don't know.
I'm sure his house looks nice.
I don't know how the house looks. You know that bedroom is the nicest room in the house. That's how come he went in there. Okay? Now we can say that for sure, right? Yeah. I don't know how the rest of them look, but that bedroom was, you know, that was the shit. That's why he went in there, okay? So he went in that bedroom because he was trying to impress whoever and he wanted to be comfortable himself. So he went in that bedroom, okay? And Neo knew that. Oh, I ain't going to be here. I know he going right on in there with whoever, even by his damn self. I know he going right on in there, right? He knew that. So then he comes back, he probably got cameras, security, and everything in the house. He probably got the whole shit on film. And he knew that Lucky Day was in there. So he said, this time I'm going to get out of this. I'm going to just tell him I can't trust him. Good. I've been stringing him along all these years. What the hell? You know, so that's what he did.
I admit the incident happened years ago.
Hey, whatever. When you talking years ago, it ain't right. Okay, because there's no reason it should be all these years.
So would you sign Neo as
the king or whatever? You know, Neo, he got to get his grind on too. You know,
so Neo has done a lot in the business.
He writes a lot for people.
Neo has done
a whole lot, but what I'm saying is that he hasn't helped this guy. He's been over helping other things and in his own stuff. Because he felt that he could, you know, he had more lucrative stuff going on. If he thought this guy was going to make him rich like that, he would have been. Look, you know what I heard Jay-Z said? When I saw Rihanna, or heard about Rihanna, whatever happened with Rihanna, when she walked into my office, I said, okay, I'll take a meet with her. When she walked into my office, I knew right then. Yeah. She walked in, but I knew right then. What took this man so long? Why he took years? He knew right when he saw Lucky Day. He's just probably not made. He might make a little bit of sound or whatever, a little bit of noise, but he ain't going to make
noise. He has a good voice, man. You know?
Listen, I understand. I think I heard him. I'm almost positive I did. But it's something about it. He might have a good voice, but Neo heard a whole lot of other voices he thought was better. or a whole lot of something was going on.
He said that he replaced Jamie Foxx and put He put Jamie Foxx in the song instead of him. Instead of Lucky Day.
Right. Well, because guess why? Who are you going to bank on, Lucky Day or Jamie Foxx? I'll put my money more on Jamie Foxx.
Yeah.
Jamie Foxx has a good voice. He's got other things about him I don't like. I don't see him with this all this body playing a boxer and all that. I don't see that. But I do see him as singing good. But anyhow, because didn't you say he was playing Mike Tyson?
Yes, but we don't know when, where, how.
It's still Jamie Foxx. What you going? He's going to do a body transplant? What you mean, when, where, how? It's still him.
Well, he can get his body cut.
Yeah. So anyhow, I'd rather start out with a better body and then, you know, get it cut. You start out with you know, real raw material. You got a whole lot of work to do.
Now, how about Jamie Foxx? Wait a minute, man. Jamie Foxx is the same age as Mike Tyson. How about that? How about Jamie Foxx is the same age as Mike Tyson?
They do it by age?
Well, if you're doing a movie about somebody, shouldn't you be a little bit younger? Because don't you play them like through their peak, you know?
Well, years? That's what I'm saying. Why you get somebody that old and try to put them in like he young? And he ain't looking young. And he ain't built
young. What they did?
I don't know what they did. Please, I don't even want to talk about it. Speaking of Mike Tyson, I just saw Mike Tyson on Pivot. Was so funny.
He was hilarious. That was
so funny. You know, Mike has his own marijuana, you know, products and stuff.
Yes, we saw him indulging in them.
Yeah, not only that, they say it's very successful. So, you know, I'll look it up and see what it is. You know,
like, I think it's 2.0, you know. Something 2.0. But
yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's the name of it? Because I know they kept saying Mike 2.0.
I think something. I haven't checked, but I'm pretty sure.
I'm going to check out his CBD oils and stuff like that that I like, you know.
Okay, right. Let's get into the last segment. Naomi Knows Best.
Oh my goodness. Oh my wonderful fans. Let's see. Is it the 37-year-old woman again?
You keep on with that woman. We have to get her to write us back. So, dear Naomi, I'm getting married in 3 months. My fiance and I have been together for 3 years. We live in Denver and my fiance's parents live in Utah. Uh-huh. We've never met in person, but spoke briefly over the phone on 2 separate occasions. Denver and Utah aren't that far from each other. I think it's odd I haven't met my future in-laws. My fiance is white and I'm Black. Oh. He's met my parents and they get along extremely well. When I bring up the importance of meeting his parents, he claims they aren't close and meeting them at the wedding is more than enough time to get to know them. I don't know if he's ashamed of his parents or if they're racist, but should I marry a man who never introduced me to his parents? I've met his best friends and his youngest brother, but no parents. Is this a red flag? Or should I let it go and wait to meet his parents at the wedding?
In an ideal situation, you would meet the parents prior to marrying whomever it is. However, there are situations where, you know, maybe they're not a close family. You didn't mention whether or not he's close to the parents. When did he last see the parents? There are some situations where the kids.
He says they aren't that close.
I don't know what that means. I don't know. What does that mean? They aren't that close.
I don't know, but that's what he said. You know.
So, no.
I mean, that's what she said. Okay. She said
if they aren't that close, and I've met his friends and I met his younger brother, I would still marry him. I would not, you know. I would say that their relationship may not be so close. And, you know, that's something that apparently was a pre-existing condition. Okay. I don't think they just became not close when the two of us got together. Mm-hmm. I'm not hearing that, you know,
I think it's a red flag, though. You know why I think it's a red flag? Because I think if you've been with somebody for a few years and you're still under the impression that you should be meeting their parents and don't know the back history, I think there's an issue because your fiance hasn't disclosed a lot of, you know, a lot of his family dynamics. And I think that's a red flag. Now, I'm not saying that she shouldn't marry him.
Well, that's really kind of more where
they need to go to therapy.
You know, it's a problem, but I wouldn't think that it would be a deal breaker because of the parents. I don't know. You didn't mention about their religious beliefs. And
let me say Utah, so we don't know what that means.
Well, I don't know. Well, you still don't know. Not everybody in Utah is the same religion. True. There's a lot of it. There's predominantly a certain religion in Utah, but right. We don't know that, you know.
True.
So you do know clearly that they have there's some estrangement to what extent and what level. And once again, I'm going to go back to whether there was an estrangement prior to us all along. Mm-hmm. Did they have a troubled relationship? Or are you saying that because we're different races, there's an estrangement? I'm not really getting that piece of it. And that's critical.
Right.
You know, because I'm thinking that they don't have a good relationship. If there's no rapport and no connectedness, you know, between the son and his parents, mm-hmm. Then that's something that just happened all along. If they just disconnected all of a sudden because, you know, he's marrying somebody of a different race, then I question the how bona fide their relationship is in the first place. Because I don't have to agree with anything that my kids do. I love my kids. And whether I agree with whoever they choose, whatever they do, I'm going to love and support them.
I think that's the issue, Ma. I think the issue probably is like the race, you know, having a lot of doubts and names, obviously, you know, different races, but there's many, obviously, interracial, you know, couples. But that's an issue, and just kind of wanting that validation, and you know him not.
But if she doesn't get it, but let's say she doesn't get it, she's not marrying his parents. Mm-hmm. You know.
Well, I think they need to go to therapy.
I had one whole marriage where I never met my in-laws. Of course, they were on another continent, and one of them was already dead at the point that I married. You know, my father-in-law was already dead at the point that I married. Yeah. You know, my first husband. But
that's different.
Well, you know, I could have met her. I could have traveled there. I could have met her. It wasn't impossible. We had the wherewithal to go there.
Yeah,
you know, true. But we just didn't make it a priority.
I think the relationship, I think the relationship that you have with your fiance is obviously the most important. But I would think that maybe that you two need to go to therapy to just kind of, you know, make sure that you have open communication, that you're not hiding things that are, you know, that might down the line affect you in a way that you never saw coming. So I would still marry him if I loved
him. Premarital therapy is good, maybe across the board for those few people who engage in it. But yeah. I don't know about that because I'm not really sure. Like I said, because, you know, they have some pre-existing things going on. I don't think that they were close all along. And now you find that I'm marrying somebody of a different racial background. You know, now we're not close. You know, we weren't close all along from the sound of this letter. Okay. So I don't know. They may have needed to work on their relationship if it's important to them. I don't know. You know, there has to be an agreement even to have therapy. You know, so I don't know if you just mean premarital therapy or if you mean family therapy.
I mean premarital therapy. You know, yeah. I mean with the couple.
Because
there could be insecurities on one end from her. You know, the.
Well, I don't know. You know, maybe you would be more preeminently qualified to answer that because of your situation. Do you think that that was necessary for you?
Well, for me. I think that it was important for me. Yeah, I think it, you know,
you definitely. Didn't do any premarital therapy.
No, I didn't think there'd be premarital therapy.
No, all jokes aside, because there was no estrangement.
But I met the parents.
You met the parents, and there was not that estrangement. So yeah. Because the parents weren't estranged from their son in the first place, you know, this man says he's not that close to his parents.
That's true.
And you're not gonna say, well, I don't think I'll marry you. Boy, you better go get close to your parents. I don't think that's going to happen.
No, I don't mean that, Mom, but to see, you know, what is going on and see if there's any underlying issues. Not that you don't need to marry the person.
Well, that's true, because that would be about their communication.
Yeah.
That would be directly to do with their relationship.
Yeah.
But I don't
think because that's, why that's, is it that she feels she's still saying that she would want to meet them? Like if your fiance made it clear that they weren't that close, you know, and it was for a valid reason, why would you still push it? You know, why would you push it?
I don't know, but maybe that's what they need to do the therapy for, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
Maybe they need to go to therapy to find out why is that so, you know, important to her and not as important to him.
Correct. Yeah.
You know, some people have no in-laws. I mean, in-laws are a wonderful resource. For some people, in-laws are everything because they're very supportive. They give emotional support, even sometimes financial support, everything. And some people have no in-laws at all. And then some people's in-laws are very counterproductive. So I will say to that young lady, you know, the premarital, you know, counseling, is it can never hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But certainly that would not be a deal breaker for me, because he's not close to his parents, because there are many, many reasons that people aren't close to their parents. You know, you've met some friends, you've met some family, you know, so it's clear that he's not trying to keep you out of his life, that he's embracing you in his circle, you know, of people that he is close to. The parents he just happens not to be close to. And the older I've gotten, the more I've learned, everybody's not close to their parents.
Yeah, that's true.
Contrary to popular belief. So it would not be a deal breaker. And I agree with you, Peju, that, you know, therapy is always helpful. You know, get it out, improve your communication, increase your repertoire of tools, you know, to help you deal with conflict and issues that come up is wonderful, you know. You know, that's it. But it would not be a deal breaker for me. When you say a red flag, clearly there's a relationship problem between him and his parents. But I don't necessarily view it as anything that you need to be overly concerned about in terms of its impact on your relationship. No, with your future husband. No, I don't say so.
I'm pretty much in agreement with what you said, Ma, you know, and I always believe in therapy, although it's easier said than done, you know?
Yeah.
So, okay. So you know, go ahead, Ma. Did you want to
talk? Yeah. No. So let us know how it goes. Let us know how everything goes. Let us know, you know, follow up and let us know whether or not you've met the parents or, you know, you know, whatever happened, you did therapy, you and your husband, your future husband went to therapy, or you decided to just not even, you know, pursue the relationship with the future in-laws. Let us know how it goes.
Yeah. So guys, you know, I want to say that, you know, thanks for listening to the Bambushi Happy Hour, and follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at the Bambushi Happy Hour, and also at All Things Peju. And guys, subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is All Things Peju. And don't forget to check out our website and subscribe to our newsletter, thebambushihappyhour.com. Guys, we really appreciate you. Please be safe and stay cool. Ma, you want to say anything before we head out?
I want to say, everyone, take care of yourself, and whatever it is that you believe in, advocate for it. Vote is the, you know, the first line of defense, but you also need to be contacting your local representatives, your state representatives. It is very important to make your voice heard. Do not feel that you don't have recourse, because you do. Okay? And enjoy the rest of the summer.
Okay. All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.